has the team and location to make your Up North dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield. History lesson going back to our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. And Pastor Chatfield wanted to start this conversation with a text message. Did not know that they both died the same day. 4th of July, 1826, 50 years to the day the Declaration of Independence is dated. And a listener said, man, Pat Chatfield never ceases to amaze me. I always learn stuff every Friday. So want to get that in. And also want to mention, just so you're aware, I'm going to be down at Liberty Mountain, USA for the 4th of July. We have Mark Farner from Grand Funk Railroad. Mark Farner's American Band is going to be performing tomorrow. And it appears the weather's going to be bad, so we're moving the concert indoors and going to have a private concert with Mark Farner's band there tomorrow. So I will not be able to be back in studio Sunday morning. So unfortunately, we will not have church services this Sunday. So I just wanted to make sure you and the listeners are aware of that. But let's pick this up right where you left off. One of the things I think people don't understand is, like you mentioned, because of the presidential election, they were basically had turned into mortal enemies while they were in Washington, D.C.
Right. I don't know if I say mortal enemies, but they were political enemies. It's just the nature of mankind. It's the way things are. And they didn't talk to each other, as you may or may not know. Adams did not stay for the inauguration. He just packed up and left. Now, that said, that would be in like March of 1801. That was very important that he lost the election. He went home to Massachusetts. The peaceful transfer of power is a concept that we take for granted in this country. It's a great thing to be celebrated. Adams was bitter. He left, but he left. He didn't stay. And so that was good. And they were mad at each other. And they thought that they both betrayed each other. Listen, it kind of reminds me of starting big time now in Michigan. It's the nature of the things. You know, lying, liberal,
loser.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, everybody's calling each other names. It's what happens. Whoever wins the nomination for governor, you're going to have to support. I guarantee you they're going to be 20 times better than the alternative. It's the way it works in politics. I'm not going to give you my two cents on that whole thing, but that's just the way it was. So, Benjamin Rush, who was friends with both Jefferson and Adams, says, you guys, get back together. And so, Adams writes the first letter to Jefferson, and basically says, you know, we need to understand each other. We need to get back. And so, from 1812 to 1826, till they died, last 14 years of their lives, they write 158 letters back and forth to each other. And from that, we can get their political philosophy and their back and forth, and it's interesting. I have the book. Don't ask me if I read that into every letter. I did not. But I read some of them, and I've researched it. Read them all. Some of it is just about their families, this, that, and the other. But I can go. Let me go over some general things, and they reconcile. First thing that Adams says, you and I ought not to die before we have explained ourselves to each other. What happened here? Okay. And so back and forth. They both viewed the revolution as the greatest generation. We all share the same ideals, and that is true. And by the way, in 1801, And during Jefferson's inaugural, he said, we're all Republicans. We're all Federalists. In other words, the Republicans won that, or commonly known as the Democratic Republicans. He called himself a Republican, whereas Adams was known as a Federalist. I mean, there was just different emphasis there. But we're all Republicans, and we're all Federalists. We're all Americans. And they believed in the Revolution. Now, Jefferson was in favor of the French Revolution. Adams was not. Adams viewed that as that is not different. I mean, that is different. In the French Revolution and the Declaration of the Rights of Man, there's not an emphasis on God. There's not an emphasis on Christianity. As a matter of fact, after the French Revolution, they confiscated the churches and called them temples of reason. And Adams thought that that was terrible. And he said this. Here's what Adams said to Jefferson. And Jefferson, I think, agrees with this. This is very important. In one of these letters, Adams says, the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the only principles in which that beautiful assembly of young gentlemen could unite. And what were these general principles? I answer, the general principles of Christianity, in which all the sects were united, and the general principles of English and American liberty. Everybody at that Second Continental Congress that declared independence, and later at the Constitutional Convention, were all Christians. Now, were they like me and, fundamental Christian independent Baptists? No. But they all honored the Bible. They all believed in natural law. And they all believed in the Bible. Now, Jefferson was a question the miracles of the Bible. No question about that. He was not Orthodox. And by the way, neither in the strictest of senses, neither was Adams. Adams did not believe or questioned the idea of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He didn't quite, because he couldn't understand it. By the way, I can't understand it. I believe it, but I can't understand it. How can I believe in one God manifested in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? I affirm it. I believe it, but I don't go much further than that in trying to explain it. But Adams was, he had universalist leanings. A universalist believed that in the end, everybody goes to heaven. That didn't happen, but he had some leanings toward that. And the universalists in the early 19th century were different than what the universalists later became. Now, both Adams and Jefferson distrusted kings. That is true. They both distrusted kings. But Jefferson distrusted kings more. And Adams was more open to the whole notion of kings. He said, I don't believe in killing kings. Poor men. They think that God put them there and they were born to be king. We didn't. Our faith, our creed, the Declaration of Independence doesn't believe that. We believe that you attain by merit and you are chosen by the people whom God has empowered to be in charge of government, which is the people. And so,
Well, on that point, here's what, when they were drafting the Constitution, wasn't that even part of the discussion? Adams didn't have a problem with claiming the leader of our new country to be king. I think he even advocated for it, didn't he? And they ended up debating that back and forth?
Not quite, no. Well, Adams wasn't there at the Constitutional Convention. Remember, he was still overseas serving as ambassador to Britain. But Alexander Hamilton, who was kind of an ally with Adams,
yes. did That's say, who it was, yes.
Yeah. Hamilton said, hey, we'll consider it. But no, we rejected that notion. And by the way, George Washington, who was not, he didn't say a whole lot during either the Second Continental Congress, in which we declared our independence, or at the Constitutional Convention, which he was the president and he presided, but he wasn't for that. And if Washington wasn't for that, nobody was. That wasn't going to happen.
It wasn't going to happen.
It wasn't going to happen. And Washington simply, they debated, what are we going to call the president? Your Highness, your Royalty, and we opted for Mr. President. So that was, it's in America, that's the greatest thing to be called, Mr. President. That's a position of honor, but you are no king, okay? Both of them believed in our Constitution and our Declaration. Now, there was a big argument, and I still have an argument about this. He said that Jefferson said that he thought progress should continually be made, progress be made in government. We're going to progress in sciences. We're going to progress in medicine. Why wouldn't we progress in government? Whereas Adams was a little less enthusiastic about that. And I'm not enthusiastic at all. What do you mean progress? Do we need a better constitution? Well, we're 250, we're almost 250 years from the Constitution. Do we need a better one? No, thank you. I'm quite confident the men that wrote that Constitution are way more educated and studied than I am, and I'm going to trust their judgment, and let's go forward with the Constitution as it is written and with the intent of what those people intended. By the way, that's why I didn't like the Supreme Court decision this past one. Listen, it's not just the words of the Constitution. That's the text itself of the 14th Amendment. Yes, that's important. But it's also, what did they actually intend? Abraham Lincoln said, for the intentions of the lawgiver is the law. And the court, when it comes to, citizenship for anybody born in this country, whether you're an illegal alien or we've been invaded by a foreign country and they're born here, are they citizens? That is not the intent of the 14th Amendment. So I disagree with the with a decision. Nevertheless, we believe in law. We believe in our Constitution. I don't think we can improve on it.
On that point, there was immediately discussion when that opinion came out from the Supreme Court regarding birthright citizenship. Immediately, folks started saying, wait a minute, this is something that can be fixed legislatively. What are they talking about? I didn't hear the entire argument. Did you hear what they were talking about, that both the House and the Senate president could sign something that could clarify birthright citizenship?
I find that hard to believe. I don't understand that's even possible. Well, here's the deal. The supreme law of land is the Constitution. Legislation doesn't change the Constitution.
Exactly.
You'd have to have a constitutional amendment would fix it, yep. But that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen either. Final segment of today's discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Short break, word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
This is Perry Johnson, the Trump conservative for governor. I'm an outsider businessman, not a career politician. I spent my life bringing quality and efficiency to over 60,000 companies. In fact, they call me the quality guru. My first priority as governor will be my mega audit, the Michigan Efficiency Government Audit, that will find the fraud in state government and Jocelyn Benson's election office and eliminate it. By implementing my mega audit, we will save the taxpayers millions and return it to you with my 4747 income tax elimination plan and property tax reform. My Perry Johnson 4747 plan will put $4,747 in your pocket every year. And seniors deserve a better deal on property taxes. This message paid for by Perry Johnson for governor. And I approve this message so that we can finally bring quality and efficiency to state government.
Perry's on a mission, he's here to stay. Perry Johnson's rising, gonna take a stand for families.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
The W Tax Group fights your IRS and state tax problems. With experienced tax attorneys and a dedicated legal team, we represent clients in all 50 states. We resolve tax liens, wage garnishments, back taxes, and reduce tax liabilities for businesses and individuals. We secured over $10 million in tax debt relief for clients every year. Call the W Tax Group today and get experienced nationwide tax resolution on your side. Call us at 855-346-1788. Again, 855-346-1788.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Final segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. One thing that I think is pretty interesting that is setting up. Did you see that AOC came out yesterday and announced her endorsement of Abdul El-Sayed for U.S. Senate? Did you happen to catch that press release yesterday?
No.
And these other elections, not only in New York, but around the country, the incumbent 30-year Democrat woman taken out in the Denver, Colorado County area of Colorado with a socialist, Donald Trump's calling him communist, El-Sayed leading in the polls on the Democrat side. And it's just starting to be very interesting, the direction of the Democratic Party. And I wanted to get your thoughts. Compare it to the back in the day when our founding fathers were fighting for our freedom, our revolution, our independence from Great Britain, trying to overthrow the government and replace it with something else, which is basically what they did. Do you see any correlation between the changing, the shifting of the Democrat Party as a way to kind of take over the country and take it in a different socialist, progressive, communist direction? Is this something that's happening internally via politics versus a revolution? Do you see any similarities?
No, they're doing it politically. And I suppose they have that right. This Muslim guy there wants to run. I saw the ads on TV. Seemed like pretty good ads, I suppose. And most political pundits say, well, this is really going to hurt the Democrats. This guy is way, way too liberal. He'll never win. Hey, that's what I remember them saying about 8 years ago about Dina Nessel. Did she win? Hey.
Twice.
I'm not convinced that all the political pundits are right. That, if it'd be great for Republicans if this Muslim guy is nominated. Okay, maybe you're right. I'm not so sure of that. Listen, we have a Muslim mayor of New York City, a Muslim socialist/communist mayor of New York City. What makes you think this is a real movement on the left? I don't think it should be minimized. Now, they might be right that he is, that we're not ready. So 25 years after 9/11 to have, to elect a Muslim governor of Michigan. But I'm not so sure.
You mean U.S. Senator. U.S. Senator.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm senator, yes. You're right. But I'm not so sure that we're not. We shall see. I do not know. And as far as governor, you think that we're automatically going to get a Republican governor now? I don't
know.
I hope so.
Well,
but I don't,
according to the polls, Jocelyn Benson beats all three of the Republican candidates that are running anywhere from 8 to 11 percentage points. She's maintaining basically the same polling numbers that Governor Gretchen Whitmer won both of her governorship elections, 2018 and 2022, by basically 10 points. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, anything changes. My question to you is, what is it that we could do to get the grassroots base, the Republican base, out, especially people that go to church, people that hunt, people that basically don't vote in November midterm elections? What do you think we could do possibly to get their attention and wake them up and say, hey, this is an important election. You got to get out and vote this year.
Randy, I don't have the answer to that. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing something. You are doing something. You're the voice of the conservative right in Michigan. You're kind of the Rush Limbaugh of Michigan, I suppose. So I don't know what else to say. I'm going to keep tomorrow we're going to parades in northern Michigan, passing out gospel tracts, trying to win people to Christ. And a person becomes a Christian, you start teaching them the Bible. You know what? You just gravitate naturally toward conservatism, the Bible, morality, which translates eventually politically. But it doesn't happen overnight. And we need wise political leadership, good people, and people know how to run a campaign. I hope we have them. I hope we have them, and both for Senate and Michigan and the State House and State Senate. I don't know. By the way, here's one thing. One more argument between Adams and Jefferson. Adams was not a big believer, didn't believe in the perfectibility of mankind. He was kind of more pessimistic, and I'm with Adams. Jefferson believed, we're going to advance, everything's going to get better and better. Things don't necessarily get better and better. I know it's a downer of a message. I know that downer messages don't win in elections, but for a guy who says, the best days of America are ahead of us. I mean, I hope that's right, but I'm not sure it's right. You know, we need to pray, go to church, be politically active, be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, vote, and then ask God to have mercy on our country. That I'm sure of.
One of the things that is, I think, critical is just to simply talk about it, try to educate folks, try to make sure they understand that, number one, it's even happening, and number two, how important it is for them to get out and vote. And I think this is definitely, like you say, something we do every day, Monday through Friday on this show. And I'd like to see the pastors actually get up and vote, get the vote out from the pastors within the church. So again, we will not Amen. Be broadcasting church services this Sunday. Vicki and I will be camping down at Liberty Mountain, USA. And Pastor Jeff Field, thank you very much for the history lesson. We'll talk to you soon.
Amen. Thanks, Randy.
God bless. Final God hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
To your Defending Fathers with trucker Randy Bishop.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From noble new tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat
and terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
This July 4th, celebrate America's 250th birthday at the biggest party in mid-Michigan at Liberty Mountain, USA in Farwell. Featuring Mark.